Sex transmutation is the topic of interest for this podcast episode. Yes, I'm not joking. From the book Think and Grow Rich, there's a chapter in there called Sex Transmutation, and it literally changed my life. And at 25 years old, I was like, wow, this is why I'm feeling the way I do. And if you are a male entrepreneur who has like a really strong sex drive, like this podcast will change your life, I hope, as much as it changed mine. And it was from that book that I was able to search and find my wife, Katie. And our relationship now is one that people consistently ask me questions of, how do you guys do it? How do you balance the business and marriage and kids? And how do you get her in the business? I want my wife to be inside the business. And so inside this podcast, I share with you our strategy. I share with you our different dynamics that we've gone through over, we've been together for, I think, almost 9 years now. Different strategies, like our quarterback fullback relationship, like a quarterback cheerleader relationship. I share with you our five principles we live our marriage by, and I give you some really tactical things that we do for our marriage, how we treat it like a business. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanares. I get asked so many times, how did you get your wife to work for you in your business? How did you get her to be so involved and to show up to all the masterminds? And how do you get her to be part of it and care about it and want to talk about it? And so it's funny because that's not the way our relationship started out at all. And so I met Katie in 2014, and I was just on the heels of starting my business. I started it in December 2013, and I remember reading this book. It's a book that if you're an entrepreneur, you've definitely heard before. It's called Think and Grow Rich. And that book changed my life, but not for the same reason that most other people talk about why the book changed your life. For me, it was this chapter inside the book called Sex Transmutation. And inside that chapter, Napoleon Hill talks about that men, we have this innate desire to chase tail, basically is what he said. And the biggest reason why most entrepreneurs, most men are not successful until their later years in life, their 40s, 50s, and 60s, is because they spend their first 40 years chasing tail, and they get distracted, and they don't put all this energy into growing something. They chase it into doing dumb things. And I really related to that story at that time, the time I was like 25 when I read that book, and I realized that I spent so much time and energy chasing women and chasing the next weekend. And to the point where I was no longer fulfilled by it, but I was in such the habit of it that I was like, I didn't know what else to do. And when I read that book, it did two things. Number one, it made that feeling of guilt of like, man, like I am just like obsessed with this one thing of like trying to procreate, that I felt really guilty about it. So when he explained the biology behind it and how I could actually transfer that energy into growing my business and to making the world a better place, all of a sudden I got really excited. And so that was the second piece of it, is I was like, okay, I have this innate energy inside me, this high sex drive. I was like, how do I transfer that into actually growing my business, which I had just started a couple months before that. And so once I realized that I could make this change, I was looking for an environment that allowed me the best opportunity to grow my business and not chase tail. And so what I realized, I need to settle down. I need to find somebody, because I know, again, inside that chapter talks about like we have this, like men have this this urge to procreate. So we need to satisfy that urge. We need to have a mate. That way we can actually spend our time, the rest of our time and energy, growing a business. And so that's what I did. I was like, okay, now I need to start looking for different people, right? And instead of looking for the one night stand or the fling, I was like, I need to find someone who I can spend the rest of my life with. I feel I can build a family with. And so I started looking and searching, and that's where I actually found Katie. And so when I found Katie, she already had a kid. She was just coming on the heels of getting out of a relationship, actually getting a divorce. And looking back on it, again, at the time, I didn't quite have all this pieced together at the time, but now looking back on it, I was like, she was like the perfect person for me because she fit my ideal avatar of what I was looking for. I was looking for somebody who was safe, someone who didn't go out and party, someone who already had a kid. So like, there was all these like I didn't have to go through all this hoopla. She was already married, so I didn't have to go through this hoopla of, like, you know, this big fancy wedding and worrying about kids. Like, I could just find somebody who I could satisfy that urge and I could grow a relationship with. And it kept me out of the bars, and it kept me, you know, from being up late at night and doing dumb things. And so that's kind of how our relationship started. And so that's literally, it's kind of funny. So after about 4 years, we dated, and I was sitting on a Zoom call with Alex Hermosi, and I was working for him at the time. I was doing some sales and doing some daily calls for him, and he asked me, he's like, hey, like, are you going to marry Katie? And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, everything's going pretty well right now. Like, I don't see any reason to change what we're doing. It's working. And he said, Logan, if you marry her, you'll make a lot more money. And I was like, huh, interesting. Why? And then he told me the reason why. And I was like, okay. And so a week later, I proposed to her. And then a week after that, we were sitting in our living room with, it was me, Katie, our oldest daughter, and an ordainer and his wife. And we got married in our living room a week after that. And so within 2 weeks, we'd got married. And I shit you not, within about a month and a half, we had put our first $100,000 in our bank account. And there is something really magical about being on the same team and about the commitment to marriage that Alex was 100% right about. And I believe that to this day is that when you're committed, you get creative and you'll do things for other people who you care about more than you'll do things for yourself. And so when you join someone with that big commitment, all of a sudden, it's no longer me just taking care of myself. It's no longer Katie just taking care of herself. Now we're doing things together. We're doing this as a family, and we set these goals together, and we moved really, really fast. And so that was my pitch for getting married, right? And so there's really like five principles that I want to share with you of that I believe that our marriage, it works as well as it does, and hopefully you can take things from this. And so the very first principle that we live by is that we have a shared belief. And we have a shared belief that if we both want to make it work, we can make it work. And so we come from divorced parents. And so our goal was always to stay married. And so Katie obviously was coming off a divorce already. And so when we got into this relationship, we said, hey, like, we want to be, like, our number one goal is that we actually want to be married forever. And then a shared belief of that was that as long as we both want to stay in this marriage, we can stay in this marriage. And marriage is a thing that we work at, not just like a feeling that comes and goes. And that really goes into my second principle, is that like love is an action rather than just a feeling, because feelings come and go, but actions are choices. Actions can be controlled. And that's one of our principles that we live by, is that just because you're feeling a certain way, just because you're feeling like a dick, just because you're feeling like an asshole, just because you're feeling put down or selfish, doesn't mean you have to act that way. And so when we come to, when we share that same principle, it allows us to get our feelings out of the way and go back to our central goal, which is like, we want to be on the same team rather than be right. Right. And I think most people want to be right rather than be on the right team. A third principle that we live our marriage by is have a parenting strategy, right? And so I think the unique situation for us was that when I came into Katie's life, she already had a 4-year-old. And so we were developing our parenting strategy at the same time we were actually trying to figure out how to love each other. And so we actually did our parenting strategy first. And it was us getting on the same page, like what our roles were, who was the disciplinarian, what were our rules? What were our guidelines? What sort of culture, what sort of values did we want to share as a family? Because when we came in, like my values were of how I would have parent or was very much different than how Katie was parenting. And a lot of that was just due to fear, insecurity of her going through a divorce and her not wanting to basically have her kid pick sides, right? And so I was able to be the logical person coming in and say, hey, like we need to have values. We need to make sure that we instill these values at a young age, because when this kid gets older, if she keeps going the way she is, she's going to be a hellion. And it was funny, our very first anniversary, we spent at this place called Chico, and our very first anniversary was spent crying and having a big conversation about parenting and getting on the same page. And you know what? It was one of those moments I'll look back on it, and you would look at it from the outside, like, oh God, these guys aren't going to make it. But like that conversation is one of the reasons that we are where we are today. And now our daughter's 13 years old, and like the difference in her behaviors and her values and her actions are like, she's a totally different person at 13 than she was at 4 years old. And it's because we developed this parenting strategy right in the very, very beginning. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that marriages have, is they don't have the same parenting strategy, and they ended up resenting each other because they have totally different outlooks on how they should parent. So have a parenting strategy, one of the most important principles you can have to have a successful marriage. Fourth principle, we talk about each other behind each other's backs. And so when I mean that, I was like, we actually make it a point to compliment each other when we're not in the room. And so it's funny because our offices are, we share walls. And so I can hear my wife on calls. I can hear her talking to family members and teammates. And like, I hear her constantly like talking about me behind my back. And it's always positive things and how amazing I am. And like, I can hear those things, like, oh, it makes me feel pretty good. And I do the same thing. Like, I'm really conscious of when I'm talking to our team, or I'm talking to our kids, or I'm talking to mutual friends, of like complimenting Katie and like and loving on her and showing her how much I appreciate her through my words when she's not around. And sometimes those are the most powerful words you can do, is to talk about somebody behind their back. The second piece of that is we actually don't complain to our friends and families about each other. And so many people, so many spouses, like, I hate, like, this is one of the things that just, it bugs me. It's one of my pet peeves, and something that me and Katie have addressed so many times. And it's like, when people go to their friends to talk, to complain to about their spouses, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, he just won't clip his fingernails, and it just bugs the hell out of me. And like, instead of telling your friend that, why don't you just come tell me that? And that's been our way of communicating since day one, is that we don't complain to our friends about our fingernails, which is actually one of the things that Katie did complain about. She's like, you know what? Your fingernails are getting long and it bugs me. You try to scratch me and like, or you like, you try to touch me and you scratch me and I don't like it. And so instead of telling her friends about that, family members, like, she just told me. You know what I do? Like, I look at my fingernails almost every single day. I'm like, hey, like, can I cut these today? It became something that I was aware of. And I think it's super important that you address any issues you have with your partner directly rather than behind their back. The fifth principle is like, we make autonomous decisions. So I think a lot of times, but really alpha males can become overpowering. They can become dominant, and they can just like be dictators and just make decisions for the spouse, right? If you have a clear alpha beta relationship. And so one thing I've been really conscious of is making sure that I give Katie the power, the empowerment to make decisions. And sometimes she'll ask me to make a decision for her, and I won't do it. I'm like, I will empower her by letting her make the decision, and I will not overpower her in making decisions either. And so it's really important that you actually pick your lane and you stay in it. Now, that doesn't mean I don't make decisions, because I do. I make a lot of the decisions, but I also make the decisions that are in my lane. And so one thing that we also do is that unless we're both on the same page, like, we don't move forward. And so just because I say something and she's not in agreement with it, then we don't move forward. And we wait till we're both on the same page. And so I think that is a sign of respect. And it shows that both people's opinions matter, and they matter equally, right? Even though you might have different roles, someone might be more dominant than the other person, but unless you're both on the same page, like, you don't move forward. So those are like the five principles that we live our marriage by. And also, I think it's important to understand there's like two different types of marriage dynamics. And so again, one of the biggest questions people ask me is like, well, how do I get my wife into the business? How do I get her to be the CEO? How do I get her to like doing sales and all those other things? But I think we understand there's actually two marriage dynamics, and both can work. Then you can figure out where you currently are and where you want to move to. And me and Katie have been in both types of these marriage dynamics. So the first type of marriage dynamic is a quarterback cheerleader relationship, which is how Katie and I's relationship started. We started out in a quarterback cheerleader like relationship, where I was on the field, I had the business, I was out there doing the sales, doing the marketing, I was doing the fulfillment, and she was not in the game at all. She was a office manager at a dentist's office, and she had a totally separate job. She had nothing to do with the business, but she was my biggest cheerleader. She was my first follower. She believed in me. She always asked me questions about the gym and about the clients, and was always super curious and always encouraging. And if I was down on myself, she's a pick me up and say, get back out there, get back on the field. And so that dynamic, it can work really, really well, because, you know, there's clearly defined roles. Like, there's no need to separate marriage from business relationship. Like, there's clear separation. You have like strong desires to want to communicate with each other because you don't see each other all day, right? Like, I was in the game playing and she was on the sidelines cheering. And then after the game, we came together and we got to talk about our sides of the story. We got to share different sides and different experiences. And like, it's really, really cool, right? Now, some of the cons of that type of relationship is that sometimes you're speaking a different language. Like, when you're on the sideline being a cheerleader, you have different verbiage. You have different things that you see and different things you're working on versus when you're in the game, you have plays and you have the feelings, the raw emotions. And so there's different experience, different goals that can happen at the end of a game. And so that can be a con of having that quarterback cheerleader relationship. Now, the second type of relationship that we can have is a quarterback fullback relationship, which is the relationship that Katie and I currently have. And so this is, like, it sounds like you're both in the game, playing the game together, right? You have clearly defined roles. And ultimately, like, some of the pros in this type of relationship is that you're literally in the field working together. And so you get to feel those same experiences. You get to share the same language, right? You get to work towards the same goals. When something happens, like, you get that immediate feedback right away. So those are like some of the benefits of being in a relationship. Now, some of the cons is that you're literally with your partner all the time. Like, think about when you played sports and some of your teammates, like, even though you, like, some of your best friends, like, sometimes they bugged you because you were always with them. They started to get on your nerves. So really, one of the biggest con of having that type of relationship is like the need to actually manage romantic and family relationships with a business relationship. And like, right now, it's for us in our relationship, it's like we actually need to find distance in a relationship because we spend a lot of time together. And so there's like a dichotomy of like wanting to spend too much time together, because all of a sudden the romance and the curiosity, it goes away. And then if you don't spend enough time with each other, all of a sudden that distance can create jealousy or envy, or just you could start to like fall away from that person. So it's like really finding that nice balance of spending time, enough time with that person to keep the desire to want to hang out with them more, but not too much to where you know everything about them and like they no longer interest you. So those are kind of like the two types of relationships, quarterback, fullback relationship. And one of the tactical things that Katie and I do that's been such a game changer for our marriage is we do what's called a weekly marriage meeting. And so again, when I said like we treat our marriage like a business, like we have a weekly marriage meeting, kind of like you probably have with your team, or maybe with your CEO, or with your manager, where you're talking about, hey, how'd I do last week? What is on the agenda for this week? And so that's very much how our weekly marriage meeting is ran. Is the first thing we talk about is our finances. Like, here's where we are on our finances. And we talk about any expenses. We categorize things. And that is like the very first part of our marriage meeting. And I think that's really important, that one of the biggest reasons why people will split up and they have big fights about is two things: kids and money, right? And so we talked about kids earlier. Now, money is the same thing as like being on the same page with money and understanding, like, are you going to have the same bank accounts? Are you going to have different bank accounts? Are you going to separate your money? Are you going to have money together? It's all about having a plan, right? Like, I don't think there is a right way to parent. I don't think there's a right way to do your finances, but you must have a plan. And it's okay to adapt that plan as you continue to move through your relationship. So that's one thing we do. We talk about every single week. We have finance. We know exactly where we are. We know how much money is in our personal bank accounts. We know how much is in our business bank accounts. We know what our net worths are. We see big expenses coming. Like, finances is so important to be on the same page about. Second thing is, like, we talk about what's the upcoming weekly schedules. We want to make sure that we know what's on the schedules. We're not getting surprised. This can be kids things. This can be business things. This can be personal things. And so, like, if we're going to miss dinner, we talk about why we're going to miss dinner. We talk about, like, the weekend ahead. Do we need to block our Fridays off if we're leaving town? Are we going on a trip somewhere? And so this just gives an opportunity to make sure we're on the same page. That way we don't have those surprises. Like, oh, I thought you knew I wasn't going to be here. right? I thought you knew I was going to show up for dinner. I thought you knew you were supposed to hang out with the kids, right? So these are all important things that we actually check our upcoming weekly schedule. Another thing that we do a part of this weekly marriage meeting, this is really important, is we share our cheat codes with each other. And so your cheat codes is like, what do you need to feel loved by your spouse every single day? And so most people try to make this into a game of like, hey, guess, take a guess of what I want today, right? And when you guess, a lot of times you're gonna be wrong, because guys and women, like, we think differently, we feel differently, we want different things. And so what I prefer as my love language is different than what Katie wants for her love language. So there's a great book. Most people have read it or heard about it. It's The Five Love Languages. It's a great book. You should understand that one. Another great book that I recommend that really changed the way I do relationships is called Love and Respect. And I'll save you a lot of time in just understanding that, like, most women seek love and most men seek respect. And so if you can understand that at the base level, you can understand that, like, we seek different things. Like, love and respect are separate, but when we get them, then it's easy for us to give the other thing back to the other person. And so we share our cheat codes with the person, like, what do you need to feel loved today, right? And these things evolve and they change. When we very first started doing this meeting, I think 4 or 5 years ago, we did this meeting before we were married. But like, what we need back then is different than what it is now. So it constantly gets updated. And I tell Katie exactly what I need. And Katie tells me exactly what she needs in order to feel loved. And then we will actually review each other. Like, how did you do? So I said that I wanted back scratches every single night for 15 minutes. And then I'll basically review her and say, you know what? You only scratched my back twice this week, right? Curious why you did that, right? Or did you even know that? And so whatever your cheat codes are, when you are able to share with that person, like, the chance of them being able to do it is really, really high, right? Unless they just don't like you, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. So give them the cheat codes. And then you can review each other every single week and just understand that as long as you guys are open to feedback, and it's like, it's okay, like, that's what this meeting is for, is to be okay with the feedback and accept it, both sides, right? So make sure that you're able to give it in a way that your intention is that you want to be on the right team, not be right. And I think that's, again, a fundamental value that we live by as well. So that's our weekly marriage meeting, one of the most impactful, important things that we do. Our daily communication as well, I'll share with you. And so because we run a business together, we use Trello. We use WhatsApp when it comes to business stuff. Like, we don't use text messaging. Like, our texting is literally only for personal. So we use our channels, Trello, WhatsApp. We also use Slack as well. And that's how we do our daily communication. We have a honey huddle that we utilize for important tasks, where it's just me, my wife, and her assistant on there, where we talk about our tasks and fires and if we need to update anything, kind of like what are the big things going on. I don't do phone calls, right? And so Katie knows not to call me, and I don't call her unless it's an emergency. And so very rarely does this rule get broken, but I don't like phone calls. My phone doesn't have notifications on anyway, and so she knows that the best way to get a hold of me is just actually I check my WhatsApp and I check my Slack and I check Trello, and that's it. And so at the end of the night, one thing that Katie and I have adopted that we actually have got our kids in as well is we do what's called wins and gratefuls. And so at the end of every single day, we share wins throughout the day, and then we share what we're grateful for. And this is just a quick reminder for us to look back at our day and know that we're blessed and that we got paid in full in the beginning of the day. And now it's just our job to continue to show gratitude and to show appreciation for our life and a life for each other and for our kids and our team and everything. And so that's really what our daily communication looks like. And so really, I'd like to just sum this up by saying that, you know, out of all the conversations, like, Katie and I have so many direct conversations, and like, you're just a direct conversation away from having a relationship with your dreams. And I can think back at all of the direct conversations Kate and I had, and sometimes they ended in crying, sometimes in frustration, sometimes they ended in our feelings getting hurt. But at the end of the day, like, our relationship is like so powerful to the point that one of our friends, Desiree Cashy, she challenged us last year to this idea of what happens if Katie died? What happens if Logan died? Like, what would you do? And she challenged this idea to us, and like, we really thought about it a lot. And man, my first thought was, it would take so much work to replace Katie from the standpoint of like how much we've grown together, how much like how much of an asset that she is to me outside of just like a lover, like just as a human being, as a best friend. Like, she is such an asset to me that I'm like, man, it would be so hard to replace her. And I'm not even sure if I would. Like, I might, you know, obviously when it comes to your needs, maybe you would take care of your needs. But outside of that, like, I don't know if it would be worth the effort to go to like start back from square one again. And I think that actually shows a lot about our relationship, of like how much work we put in, and to know that like it didn't happen. Like, nothing that is in our life right now happened on accident. Like, it happened on purpose. And we continue to put the work in. We continue to have the marriage meetings. We continue to do the boring work. And we continue to have conversations. Like, people only see the outside, right? But like, we still have direct conversations. We still have times where we get frustrated at each other, where we have conversations where like we get mad at each other, but we go back to our principles. We go back to our principles that as long as we both want to make it work, we can make it work. We remember that love is an action. It's not a feeling. Right, we remember our strategy for parenting, for finances. We understand our roles, and we stay inside our lanes. We make sure that we talk about each other with appreciation and gratitude behind each other's backs, and of course in front of each other as well. And we empower each other to make decisions and to make tough decisions. And those are really our principles. So, you know, I hope that this added value to you. Hope you got something that you can actually take from this and use it. And if you did, please let me know. Again, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Logan Lee Manzanares. And if you like this podcast, please share it with someone who's married, someone who's an entrepreneur, someone who's going through the same thing you're going through. And yeah, with that being said, I'm out. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want more, go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift. And there, I have the most incredible free gift waiting for you. Do you want to run your business based on logic rather than emotion, based off numbers rather than feelings? Do you want to have a consistent, reliable business that runs based on data? Then go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift.